You definitely do. Like, so, a severe case. Like, honestly, yeah. A severe case. Mel just described that she's vomiting bile, guys. Like, she has a mouthful of bile that she has to spit up or vomit, almost like you just tip over and it comes out. Even it's not even like you're forcefully vomiting.
No, like, first it starts as, like, the foamies.
Yeah.
And then it turns into the bile. Like, I'll just start spitting, and then boom, bile will come out.
Yeah, there is absolutely nothing that's going to fix that other than fixing the hernia that you 100% have. I would bet my life on it. Like, I know, I'm telling you that. I know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I know for a fact that you have a hiatal hernia with that description. And that means a lot of your sleeve stomach, which of course should be in your abdomen, again, is up in your chest. And because so the pylorus at the end of the stomach is like a gatekeeper between your stomach and small intestine. And when that's closed, even if you're not eating or drinking, or even if it's just water, if that's closed, things are refluxing back up. In your case, bile, which is made in the small intestine beyond that, is refluxing back into the stomach. I would also bet anything that you have what's called antral gastritis, which is basically an inflammation, red streaky erythema to the lining of the bottom part of your stomach from the corrosiveness of the bile coming back into the stomach. And then I would say you probably have some degree of either grade A, B, or even C esophagitis with erosions from it too. So it's very, very serious. Like, because you could, if you have bile that just comes up, and especially if it wakes you up from sleep and you're coughing and you're choking, if that happens, you could aspirate. And if things like bile, which is again very corrosive, go down the wrong pipe and into your lungs, you could get aspiration pneumonia or even something scarier called chemical pneumonitis, which is an inflammation of the lungs. And so when someone comes and tells me what you're telling me, I'm like, we don't screw around. I get you on the OR like the next week. Like, so I'm being very, very serious, not to like fear mongering or scare you or be very dramatic. I know this sounds so dramatic, these hushed tones and all of this, but no, I think that if any of you are listening, you have the sleeve and you're experiencing that, it's not normal. Go to your local surgeon or do a virtual consult with me. And we really specialize in this. We just did 6 surgeries and half of them were revisions.
Hey, it's Mel. Before we dive in, just a quick note. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The insights shared by our guests are not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your healthcare provider before making changes to your diet, exercise, or lifestyle. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome back to our Sleep Life podcast. I am so excited about this episode, guys. We're just going to jump on in because of how excited I am. We have a dietitian, we have Hannah, and we have Dr. Donog, our bariatric surgeon. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mel. OSLP has come a long way. We have a lot to catch up on.
It's been a while.
Yes, we do. It's been a while. I know you guys have your own practice. Like, this is crazy.
I know.
It is crazy.
Bariatrics is up and thriving and doing the most.
Doing the most. That's why we're here now, to make sure everybody knows that we're doing the most. And yes, we went live in April of 2023.
How exciting. So tell us, how did body bariatrics even come to be?
Whew. All right. Well, so... Yeah, I mean, you followed me through my career, and if you guys go back in the archives, if you're longtime fans of the show, you know that we used to have our Dr. D diaries that we had. That was when I was in Baltimore, Maryland, and I was hospital employed there. And then I was recruited to another hospital system in Florida, and you guys also came down and we did some podcast recordings. You attended some events, and that was also where I was hospital employed. And I think just like you, you're obviously an entrepreneur as well with this podcast and all that you've done with it. I think at some point you realize that you are either going to be compliant and complacent with the way that your career is going, because, I mean, that's who you're employed by and that's who you represent, or you can decide, no, I'm going to lean in, make that uncomfortable choice, sounds familiar as to a lot of our patients' journeys, and do something different with my life. And I decided to take the leap, and I grabbed some incredible people like Hannah here, who was employee number one of Body by Bariatrics. And gosh, yeah, it's been a grind, and we've been doing it together, and inch by inch, we're making forward progress. And we're just really hoping to change the way that bariatric surgery care and all its surrounding services are really delivered.
Yeah, I can tell already just looking at your social media and then being down there for the Butterfly Effect event was amazing. I got to see and meet so many cool people.
Yeah, thank you for doing that and coming.
Yeah, that was such a pleasure.
Yeah, that was the best. I loved, like, I hadn't seen you in so long. Like, it had been a few years. And I would just cross paths with you. And we're like, hi. And I was like, probably running to do something or whatever. But you're like, I got you, girl.
Yeah,
that was so fun to see you. And I saw so many people with photos of you, like with you afterwards, and they were all excited to have you there. So that was awesome. And like just an amazing event overall.
It really was. And everybody that I talked to loved it, by the way. I didn't hear one bad thing. Everybody was just like, oh my goodness, like, look how much they put into this. Like, there, everyone is so nice and friendly. And I'm like, oh yeah, like, if you don't know Dr. D, they're like, who's Dr. D? I'm like, Dr. Dovak. That's what I call her. I'm like, if you don't know her, you better get to know her, because this is just incredible. So, and I loved your little, like, get to know each other, like, thing you guys did. I was like, I love that. Like, because I got to know a lot of people from that.
Nice. Cool.
You're a little icebreaker.
That's Hannah. Hannah's a brainchild of all those sorts of things.
I try to find something to, you know, it's intimidating to go into an event like that, especially we had some people that, you know, a lot of people came maybe with a friend or a spouse or partner or anything like that. But still, a lot of people came by themselves, and that can be really intimidating. And I think a lot of people in this world as well just feel really shy, and crowds can be difficult and things. So, you know, we do try to make it so that community is such a big part of Body by Bariatrics. And so we're always trying to think of, like, how do we make sure that that, like, community piece is there and people feel welcome?
Well, you did an excellent job, ladies. I appreciate it. So when someone goes to Body Bariatrics, like, how does that work? What's the process?
Yeah, Hannah, do you want to give the rundown of the typical lead to surgery lead to surgery pipeline?
Well, the first thing is they find us somehow in the magical world of the internet, or they have a friend that had surgery with us, or they listen to your podcast and they hear the old Dr. D diaries or whatever. And, you know, whatever the case may be, but they find us, they go to bodybybariatrics.com, and that's our website, and they click get started now. And it's really as simple as filling out an online form. It's a little long, so don't abandon it, please. Just get through it. But you can get your insurance verified if you have health insurance and you want to see if you have coverage for bariatric surgery. It's always my first recommended step. If you have insurance, just go ahead and plug the thing in.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of people who are like, oh, there's no way I have coverage for bariatric surgery. And then, like, they have 100%, you know, like, it's covered fully. So we've had that happen before. So if you don't have health insurance, or you want surgery just, like, immediately, basically, you can also do our self-pay option. So you go in, you fill out this form, and then our team contacts you, and it'll be automatic. You get a message, you get a text from us, and we say, hey, we got your submission. We'll be in touch soon. And then our team goes ahead and does that insurance verification or sends you the information about the self-pay. And once we get all that back, we get you on the schedule. It's all fully virtual too. So within a week, though, you're seeing a physician. As soon as you say, you know, we say, here, this is the insurance coverage. If you have an out-of-pocket cost, this is your estimate, you know, based on your insurance. And then you see either Dr. Dovak or Dr. Lane within a week.
Yeah.
Well, that is so fast and exciting. Look at that. You guys don't hold anything back.
Never.
No.
So what happens when they meet you, Dr. Dovak?
So we do everything virtual. So no matter where you are on planet Earth, we can meet you where you are, which I've been that way since COVID, even since we've chatted many times. I always feel like, man, that really helped, again, with that intimidation factor. I do think that, hey, you're in your own space. You feel more comfortable to get vulnerable and just really share your story. So during the consult, I always started off the exact same way. I first asked, like, what name do you want to be called? And then how did you hear about us? But then we kind of get right into it. Like, why are you here? Like, what is your story? What is your journey? What are your struggles? What are your goals? Why do you want to do this? And why now? And they just talk and they tell me. And as people, if you just, I don't say anything and I definitely do not interrupt. I just let them kind of go for it. People will really start to open. And some people get emotional. And I mean, you know what it was like that first time you decided, all right, I think I'm going to do this. I'm just looking around. I don't know if I want to do this or not. And then you just start saying things that you've kept inside of you for so long out loud. Oof, it's very emotional. And, you know, you kind of get sucked into the story. And after that, patients will, then we kind of go into their medical history, surgical history, medications, you know, all of that sort of thing. And then together we talk about, all right, no commitment at this point, but what surgery are you kind of leaning towards? Like, I know you're hearing a little bit more information. I do a group session actually before I meet them one-on-one, and I go over our program, our resources, the next steps, but also the surgeries with pictures and videos in a lot of detail. So I talk about the laparoscopic approach. I talk about the sleeve, the gastric bypass, revisional surgery, what this all entails. So they have a little bit of an idea of the anatomy and how things are, the great benefits, some of the potential risks. And then we really dive into, you know, what are you thinking now? And then I tell them, all right, here's exactly what your either your insurance wants you to do, or hey, your self-pay. So let's get rocking and rolling. Mm-hmm. When you're ready, I'm ready. That's one of the perks, I guess, of not having to deal with insurance, is you don't have to jump through any unnecessary hoops. And then we ultimately, you know, just either get them scheduled for their next visit, a final consultation, or we, you know, I kind of give them their marching orders of, here, the ball is in your court. Here's what you have to accomplish. Here's how you can accomplish it. And then we have a team of navigators, advocates that are here to help you to accomplish whatever it is, psych eval, sleep studies, labs, any clearances, things that you might need to safely and get it paid for. Mm-hmm. Get those things done. Our team is very, very concierge, white glove. We really want to make sure that we simplify it and it's as seamless, frictionless as possible to get you from being interested to actually making that decision. And then let's help you get to the operating room.
I love that, because I feel like, I know for me, I had to fill out a form, and then months later, I got to actually meet my surgeon.
That is crazy.
I love how fast that it is, because like, once we've made that decision of like, we need to do something, I feel like I need that help, you know, with my surgeon, with my dietitian, with my facility, because I might get scared and go backwards.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, I hear it every day, that I regret that I didn't do it sooner. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I love that you guys are like on it, because once we've made that decision, it's like, let's just go, because a lot of things can happen in between now and then.
Well, a lot of things can happen. You can even lose your insurance. I mean, you never know, things like that can happen. And I think you bring up a good point in just like, we do move things pretty quickly. And sometimes people are like, whoa, this is like way faster than I was expected, because they've always heard that, oh my gosh, it's going to take 6 months to a year to get to surgery. Or like you said, nobody's even reaching out to me until months later, or whatever the case may be. And the reality is, like, a lot of the insurance companies don't have those time requirements anymore either. And so they might need to do like a nutrition visit. They might need to do, like she said, a psych evaluation, but there's no time frame. So if you can get that done this week, great. Then your final is next week. And again, we can get that process really moving quickly, versus there are still some insurances out there that say you need 6 months of visits, or you need, but sometimes we know you've been seeing your primary care doctor for years. And so you have 6 months of visits because you've been working with somebody else. So like we really do try to use that factor of just being ready when you show up to that first appointment. And we're saying, great, if you're motivated. We're going to get you from point A to point B as quickly and safely as possible.
I love that. I love that. So do you only do like sleeve and RNY, or do you do DS too? What does it look like for you guys?
We don't do DS. I don't do DS. We've thought about doing some SADI. We have the single anastomosis, kind of the modified DS. We've thought about that, but we don't do it right now. And I think that those surgeries, there's obviously a lot of thousands of patients that have tremendous results with them. But I am so, so worried about buying acid reflux for somebody permanently without any repercussion to it, just having to deal with it. Because the DS is a sleeve with a kind of a bypass anatomy, and you bypass a lot of intestines. So I often think, like, what, in my perspective, if you've chosen that and you've dealt with your surgeon, you know, I respect all of that very much. But in my mind, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze to bypass that amount of intestine, to have that amounts of malabsorption, and to have to be that critically importantly compliant with your vitamins, because you could get legitimate, really scary deficiencies if you're like, I feel fine, you know, and next thing you know, it's like really hard to come back from that. And then if you have acid reflux, it's like, sorry, I can't bypass the pylorus, which is kind of the culprit that's causing things to kind of reflux back up in the wrong direction. So I think the bypass is the best one. And I think the sleeve is still good and has its place as well, but it's probably less than 5% of what I'm doing right now, to be honest.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really? Good to know. Because I had no idea. Because I've been hearing like everybody's like doing everything a little differently. Are you using a robot or anything like that?
No, I've never used a robot either. That's a whole another thing. Again, that is when you're hospital employed and you do all of your procedures in the hospital. Sure, they have really, really, really expensive, you know, multi-million dollar pieces of equipment that you can use and that are fun to use. I have always known that the surgery center was going to be an integral part of my overall kind of career path and vision, because when you think about, like, we're all talking about access to care and, you know, getting people what they need, it comes down to money. And if you think about if you can keep your procedure costs lower and you still have the same great quality and even better efficiency, well, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, like, why would I use something that could actually prevent that from being what my values and my mission are in doing this in the first place and taking the leap and going into private practice.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that I know that it's your hands, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm there at the bedside. Again, nothing wrong with the robot or any, there's different types of robots, all that kind of good stuff. But the surgeon is on a console that is not near you. It's in the room, obviously, and they can quickly run out and scrub in and get there. But I am doing this right there. I'm my body is up against your body. I'm on your right side and my assistant's on your left side. And I'm doing this through still, it's the most minimally invasive technique, laparoscopic. I'm doing this through four tiny little incisions. Three are pinky size, one is thumb width size. And I'm using these trocars and I'm using these longer instruments. And I'm able to do it all through those little things right there next to you.
I love it. I love it. So you've been doing this for so long. What have you noticed been like the same issue for us weight loss patients?
Acid reflux.
Really?
Acid reflux. And since I started my private practice, so the sleeve really started to gain some momentum and popularity, I would say, and like it started to be performed as a standalone procedure in like 2010-ish, 2011. Your early adopters were like 2012. Then 2013 is when it started to kind of gain popularity, and then it just took off. So I would say over the next 5 years, I mean, even what I did was probably 50, 60 sleeve, and I've always thought the gastric bypass was an incredible operation, but everybody's like, I want the sleeve. I'm adamant for the sleeve. Like, this is it. Now what we're seeing is, in a way, it's a little bit like the lap band 2.0. We're seeing so many people come back with acid reflux, with bile coming up, waking up in the middle of the night, having to sleep more upright, avoid certain foods, you know, you're vomiting, you're choking, you're aspirating. And I now am just so direct and so like leaning into like, you could get new onset acid reflux or worsening of your pre-existing symptoms to the point where I don't think that that's maybe the best for you. And I'm very aggressive, so much more aggressive than I ever was over the last probably like year and a half, 2 years, with fixing hiatal hernias too, which is essentially where your diaphragm is, the big muscle that separates your chest from your abdomen. And there is a hole in it. It's called the hiatus. And that hole is where your esophagus, which is the tube in your chest, will come down and then it goes through that hole in the diaphragm and then it becomes your stomach. Well, especially with the sleeve, or maybe sometimes people already have it at baseline, if that stomach is up above that hiatus or above the hole in the diaphragm and it's up in the chest, that's not correct. And that's why it's called heartburn, because that stomach is right on the alignment with where the level of your heart is. And so I have to really get aggressive now with mobilizing and getting all of that stomach, the bottom part of the esophagus, back into the abdomen where it belongs, and then tightening that hole in the diaphragm to the correct caliber or diameter so that things will quit kind of like loosey-goosey, kind of stretching out and going up. I use permanent suture to pull those muscles together to be the correct size.
Well, and for those that don't know, like we were talking offline and it sounds like I might have this issue.
You definitely do. Like so, a severe case, like honestly, yeah. A severe case. Mel just described that she's vomiting bile, guys. Like she has a mouthful of bile that she has to spit up or vomit, almost like you just tip over and it comes out. Even mm-hmm. It's not even like you're forcefully vomiting.
No, like first it starts as like the foamies.
Yeah.
And then it turns into the bile. Like I'll just start spitting, and then boom, bile will come out.
Yeah, there is absolutely nothing that's going to fix that other than fixing the hernia that you 100% have. I would bet my life on it. Like I know, I'm telling you that. I know that.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I know for a fact that you have a hiatal hernia with that description. And that means a lot of your sleeve stomach, which of course should be in your abdomen, again, is up in your chest. And because so the pylorus at the end of the stomach is like a gatekeeper between your stomach and small intestine. And when that's closed, even if you're not eating or drinking, or even if it's just water, if that's closed, things are refluxing back up. In your case, bile, which is made in the small intestine beyond that, is refluxing back into the stomach. I would also bet anything that you have what's called antral gastritis, which is basically an inflammation, red streaky erythema to the lining of the bottom part of your stomach from the corrosiveness of the bile coming back into the stomach. And then I would say you probably have some degree of either grade A, B, or even C esophagitis with erosions from it too. So this is very, very serious. Like, because you could, if you have bile that just comes up, and especially if it wakes you up from sleep and you're coughing and you're choking, if that happens, you could aspirate. And if things like bile, which is again very corrosive, go down the wrong pipe and into your lungs, you could get aspiration pneumonia or even something scarier called chemical pneumonitis, which is an inflammation of the lungs. And so when someone comes and tells me what you're telling me, I'm like, we don't screw around. I get you on the OR like the next week. Like, so I'm being very, very serious, not to like fear mongering or scare you or be very dramatic. I know this sounds so dramatic, these hushed tones and all of this, but no, I think that if any of you are listening, you have the sleeve and you're experiencing that, it's not normal, go to your local surgeon or do a virtual consult with me. And we really specialize in this. We just did 6 surgeries and half of them were revisions.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were asking about what kind of surgeries we do. And she was like, yeah, sleeve and bypass essentially. And it's like, and revisions. Like it's really now like, and you know, I see some of the people come through and, you know, people, again, it's hesitancy. It's all the things because it's another surgery and it's like, yeah, but quality of life is going to be different. And the other part of it is a lot of times the weight loss too, of with the sleeve that we're seeing now, again, these people that are 10 to 15 years out from a sleeve and yep, they lost a lot of weight, were able to maybe maintain for a little while. And then that starts to creep up alongside these other symptoms. And it's just like this storm of just not good. And so I would say that is definitely like not a negligible third surgery that we're doing, category of surgery. Because of course, you know, some of them are a little bit different. And even doing some bypass revisions. But you mostly sleeve to bypass.
Sleeve to bypass.
Yeah.
Well, because like for people that don't remember, like I'm 11 years post-op. Mm-hmm. I just hit 11 years in May. So I would imagine my anatomy is different and has changed over the years. And I can even feel it right now. So I'm just like, oh boy.
Oh no. Gosh. Well,
start looking up flights to Florida.
I know. Just let me know when. I can do you next week. And I'm not even joking. You know, I move quick like we just established. Mm-hmm. But also, like to Hannah's point about the weight, you know, gosh, one thing that I also really want to put out there, a lot of people beat themselves up that they are a failure if they're experiencing weight regain after the sleeve. Like I was so great, the first year is a honeymoon, all these things that we all say. And what I find, especially at a lot of times with people who've had their sleeve done in Mexico or even at the surgeon down the street, it doesn't matter. What I see a lot of times, especially when it was done 10, 15, 20 years ago, is that there was really no good consensus on what size we should make this sleeve. So even today, if you ask, like, hey, what size sizing tube did you use on your surgeon? They might say 40. I use a 36. Somebody else might use a 32. So we all are thinking what we're doing is the Goldilocks, not so big that you're not going to have weight loss, but not so tight or narrow that you're going to have too tight and an issue with, you know, nausea, vomiting, spitting, all that stuff. So we're all trying to like figure out that perfect size. But what I see is a lot of surgeons, to be on the uber safe side, they would not take down all of the attachments of the sleeve stomach, especially at the top. So there's something called a retained fundus. That means the stomach is still there, even though, and it's kind of virginal a lot of times. And I'm like, oh no, that means they never took it down like they should have in the first place. Hear this very clearly if you're dealing with this. And especially in Mexico, because I think they have to get people back on the plane and back home. And so they're thinking, I'm going to make it big so that everybody's not leaving with a barf bag. And so that it's like people keep coming back to Mexico. Like, yeah, my recovery was a cinch. It was super easy. Well, guess what? Your sleeve is huge to get you through that and get you out of that. And they took out a very small amount. And I take out these big, huge chunks of stomach. And that, again, should have been removed in the first place. And so it's not that it stretched out, that you were a bad girl, that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. No, it was a technical failure done in the first place.
Well, and something else of interesting about the fundus is it's where ghrelin is. A lot of the ghrelin hormone is produced, which ghrelin is your hunger hormone.
Great point.
And so this lining of the fundus is where this hormone is produced. And so when it's not removed, you're still getting that hunger signal to your brain too. And so that's another thing. It's like, yeah, it just wasn't, it wasn't, it's still there.
Right.
It's still producing your hunger. And so then you're hungry, but you can't eat as much. But then you're snacking, you're doing all this little. So there's just so many different things that come into play with that.
Well, for sure. And I know a guy, Jason, actually.
Yes.
He had to get a revision done. Because like he was able to like fully drink things. He was able to have full meals. He's like, what is going on? Like, this is too weird.
Yeah.
And they went in and yeah, like his sleeve was not like a normal sleeve at all.
But even yours, even though you are like an unbelievable story right now that you're 11 years out and you're now at your goal weight and you're just always been fighting and just leaning into this whole thing. Well, I guarantee I'm going to end up having it. I bet you your sleeve is at least twice as wide as it should be.
So we're going to find out. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah. The world is anticipating this. The surgery will record it. We'll have Hannah in there. We can do commentary over it. Yeah. We'll do all the things. But I always end up also, no matter what, even if it's for just reflux, it's not even like someone's pretty happy with their weight, I still always re-sleeve that sleeve that will become the pouch. So I end up putting a sizing tube and then I take out that redundant. Sometimes it's just a small amount. Sometimes it's a huge amount. And then I just take it out so that everybody's pouch, basically their esophagus, the new pouch and the small intestine are all the same kind of caliber and size. And I do it over that 30, I do a 32 French to make my gastric bypass pouch.
Very interesting. Like, this is, because, like, I'm sure Dr.
Though?
Patterson, to me it is, for sure, because, you know, I love all the science behind it. And that's actually what I love about our community, though. Like, they love all the little nitty-gritty of what's going on with their body. I would say our community is probably the most intelligent, because...
It's so true.
It is. Because I've been trying to change the foods that I eat, thinking, like, that's the reason. So I've been, like, trying to hold back from spicy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love spice. I'm like a spicy girl. So my goodness.
Yeah, that'll only get you so far.
No. And even like medications, like, okay, I'm like chewing Toms. I'm on Nexium. I'm on Protonix. I'm on Omeprazole or Prilosec. I take Carafate. Doesn't matter. None of it's going to work.
No. So do we think that the sleeve is just going to get obsolete again because of all the reflux that's happening, or?
I think it's going to start to phase out. I don't think it's going to become completely obsolete like the lap band did. Because the band, what we found is that was a huge piece of plastic and people were having such horrible adverse reactions and chronic inflammatory states and just what we call dysphagia, which is a really difficult time even swallowing because that band is like choking you. So the sleeve isn't doing all that. Like you're functioning, you're sitting there drinking, like you're not like, but I mean, what we're finally seeing, this like the bypass is like always this like tried and true proven thing for the last many, many decades. And then you have like vertical banded gastroplasty or stomach stapling that comes in and then goes out. You had a lap band, same thing, sleeve. And so now when you look at the volume trends, bypass is starting to come up. Sleeve is definitely starting to come down. And then you're going to see a little bit of an uptick of the DS, a little bit of that modified DS or Sadie, a little bit of the like the mini gastric bypass, some of these other ones. But insurance doesn't recognize them. And so you're going to have a really hard time getting those to gain some momentum and traction in the market, I think. Because guess what? The bypass is, again, tried and true. And that's what I think people just recognize and kind of go with as the gold standard.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting with the GLP-1s flowing in. Because, and then you help people get on GLP-1s, correct?
Absolutely. That's a huge part of what we do. And I love it. We are so here for it. I am so excited to see what that has done with our post-op patients.
Because a lot of surgeons are kind of scared.
Well, the volumes are down. And I ain't gonna say I'm not.
We're not scared.
We're not scared. I think I have to tell myself that, you know, we have... From day one, we kind of embraced that, and we have a very robust program, and we see the incredible impact it has on post-bariatric patients, especially post-gastric bypass patients, and its synergistic effect. It amplifies a lot of things. They're super responders. Post-op bariatric patients are super responders to them. So it's been great for someone that's stuck in a stall, didn't quite hit their goals, has some regain, to get them kind of back to where either they want to be or even exceed that to get to their actual true goal. And I think together that's great. But you're right. I think what's hard for us is that there are those people with BMIs 35, 40, 50, 60 who are like, let me try the meds first. And you're like, my crystal ball is not broken. I know exactly how this is going to go. And I just don't want people to like waste yet another amount of time or money or just frustration or all the things that kind of come with the meds. And ultimately, like, all right, I lost like 40 pounds, but I needed to lose 140. And I don't know, it's sometimes just delaying the inevitable. And I'm like, oh my God, but I could tell you how you could have the best result, I promise you. And I know I'm a surgeon, so it's like, okay, of course you're going to say that. But no, the evidence is there. If you have the higher your BMI and you stop these meds, you're 100% guaranteed to regain them back. So,
well, I stopped mine just on accident for a month. And yeah, I gained like 5 pounds back already.
I know. Like, it's like, no, what? I'm changing my habits. I did all the things. Like, you know, like I learned, people are like, you can be on them and then like you learn what to do. Listen, everybody knows what to do. Everybody knows what to do. Nobody wants to be overweight. Nobody wants to struggle with this. Yeah. But unfortunately, you're going to either need to be on the meds or you have the surgery. And then, you know, you get a pretty quick return on your investment. And a lot of times, depending on where you get the meds or how much you're getting the meds for, if you have insurance coverage and all that, you're going to see, even if you do it a cash pay surgery, you're going to see that the investment that you're putting in is going to come back quicker if you do surgery first.
And I think that people should be still doing surgery. Only reason why is because I think what I've noticed is that you put our habits that we've learned with the surgery, with the GLP-1, and then now we're like off to the races because now we get it.
Yes.
We understand what's going on with our bodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think of what's going to happen with the meds as it is, it's just going to be finding the correct population for them. And I think right now between marketing of them and just news, and there's new ones coming on and there's pills and there's all these things, like people are excited. They're hearing all this stuff, but they're just really not, everybody is the target audience for these medications. But I think that everybody does want to also say, like, I have tried everything before I do surgery. And I think there's some validity to that. And for some people, maybe losing 50 pounds before you go to surgery makes you feel a little bit better. But I agree that a lot of times it's kind of like, you don't need to lose the weight before surgery. We can do it still. And again, you'll have that result, a bigger result faster. I just is like kind of the quickest way to do it. And again, I think what we're also going to start seeing is now that they've been out like for weight loss for a few years, so obviously been out for diabetes for a long time, right? What we're going to really start to see is those people that are plateauing and they're reaching the maximum effect, like what we would expect from their outcomes from the medications. And so again, it's not that they're failing because they didn't lose more weight. It's just that that's the amount that the medication can do for you, essentially. And it's not getting you to that, to where you really want to be. So I think that's what we're going to start seeing in this next like year or two. It's just like, okay, I've hit the course I've done. Like, now I need something else.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Cause even, I just interviewed Jamie and he used to be over 700 pounds. Oh,
wow.
And he is down to 205. So it's wild. He's lost 505 pounds and he had to do both. Mm-hmm. He had to get the surgery, got down, and then now the GLP-1's helping him get even further. Mm-hmm. And then he just had plastics. So it's like, you really do need to go through the whole thing, I believe, because mm-hmm. I know me, it's a mental game. Like, mm-hmm. I've had to learn that I did actually have a relationship with food. I didn't want to believe it. I thought that that meant that I was a failure, that I have a relationship with food. I thought it was weird and bad and I'm a horrible person and all these things, and realizing, no, that's pretty normal. Mm-hmm. And I needed actually like a permanent. And that's what I feel like the sleeve was for me. It was like, it was a restart button. It's going to help me actually learn all the behaviors. And because I knew what food to eat, but it was like, how do we eat it? What times do we eat it? Like, and which thing should I avoid now? But now that the sleeve just does that, the bypass does that for us. So, and that's what I really like about doing that first. I think that's really good.
I agree. I agree. I mean, you're doing well, super well.
Right?
I mean, there's so much to this. I know. And that's why people are gobbling up this podcast even. It's just so many layers of, again, mindset, movement, meals, motivation. We have, that's our project reset. But yeah, I mean, that is the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's just that you have to realize who you are. And it does take time. Like, I have to remind people, yes, I am so further out, but it took me all this time to get to where I am. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, don't give up and talk to professionals like you guys so that we know what's going on.
Yeah.
When it comes to food, Hannah, is there anything that we should be avoiding while we're on GLP-1s or having surgery? Is there anything that we should be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that I always tell people that, like, I think forever you should avoid as much as possible is like sugar sweetened beverages. So sodas, juices, lemonade, sweet tea. Now you can do sugar-free versions of those types of things. That's fine. Most people don't do well with carbonation. Can you do carbonation?
It still hurts.
Still hurts.
I'll do it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just because I want to burp. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get
set out. Yeah. But like, so like that, you know, if you're on a Diet Coke or something like that, if it works for you, that's fine. But sugar sweetened beverages, just because one, they're just so high in sugar and it's liquid. So it's really going to go through, especially a bypass patient, because they don't have that sphincter at the bottom of their stomach anymore, or it's bypassed. It's going to go right through. It can cause that dumping syndrome, that low blood sugar after a high sugar item, but especially a liquid. So that's really, I try to be pretty liberal in the diet in the long term of like, most things can be included. As far as like how you eat, I think that's really important. So if you are going to say, you know, like, you know, everyone wants birthday cake, right? Generally speaking, like, I think long term, sure, you could have some birthday cake, but let's have it alongside of a meal versus having it in isolation, because that's going to do two things. One, you're going to eat less of it because you're going to feel full from the rest of your food. But the other thing is it really blunts that blood sugar response that also prevents that big crash. So you just overall feel better when you eat it that way, but you can still enjoy it. You can still have it as part of a balanced diet. But it, you know, I think ultimately, yes, we always need to focus on getting adequate protein. Now, that doesn't mean you need crazy high amounts of proteins. You know, there's trainers out there that'll tell you need 200 grams a day for a 5 foot tall woman. Like, no one really needs 200 grams of protein a day generally. Like, maybe some bodybuilder men out there, but, you know, get an adequate amount of protein. Get your, you know, healthy fats. You need carbs in your diet. You know, we want to, again, it depends on where you are as well, what level of carbs we want. If you're looking for weight loss, we're probably going to keep that lower. If you're looking for maintenance, we're going to bump it back up a little bit to where you're comfortably maintaining. Again, healthy fats. And then fiber, she's like the new hero of the unit. Like, it went from protein. She's still important, but fiber is that girl. And that's going to help with satiety. It's going to help with, you know, your gut health and bowel movements. No one is getting enough fiber. Something like 90 or 95% of Americans don't meet fiber needs.
No, they don't.
And for bariatric patients, it's even harder because typically we kind of base that fiber need on a caloric intake. Like that's kind of how the math was done. So when your calorie intake is low, just percentage wise, it's going to be a lower amount of fiber. So we have to be really intentional with it. So like getting your beans in, getting your chia seeds and your flax seeds, you know, high fiber fruits, all that good stuff, load up on non-starchy vegetables, things like that is really it. It's always balanced. It's like the most boring advice, but that's unfortunately what works.
I mean, it works. And the fiber thing I've been on lately just because of the GLP-1, like trying to make sure things are moving and grooving because I've had the issue where I've been constipated. So it's like that's not fun. And so I've been like, okay, fiber. Yeah. And even it happened to my younger brother. He had some issues and they were like, you have to eat fiber. And he's like, but I do. And I go, no, you don't.
No.
Well, it's not at all.
I think there's a lot of like misconception too. People are like, well, I ate like spinach, you know, with my lunch. I'm like, that has like no fiber in it. Like, I love it. Please eat spinach. But like non-starchy vegetables are really not that great of a source. So have them, but they're not great. So like, you have to be, again, it's like a very intentional thing. You can also do fiber supplements. Like there's nothing wrong with adding, you know, again, especially for somebody who has just this lower calorie intake. Or just capacity intake. Sometimes we do need that supplement. The only thing with fiber, though, is go slow. Like if you're getting 4 grams a day right now, don't aim for 25 because you will constipate yourself and cause like gas and bloating and all of this. So add it slowly in and make sure you're hydrating really well when you increase your fiber, because that's the other big component of it.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it true that like with the American diet, like you won't even get enough?
Well, nobody follows the dietary. If anybody followed the dietary guidelines, sure, they would get them. The old ones, I don't know about these new ones, but the ones before, if you followed it, you'd probably get close to, if not meet the needs. But again, like 90% of people aren't following the dietary guidelines. So
no.
Yeah. Again, eat more vegetables, eat more fruits and beans and lentils, and throw chia seeds in your smoothie. Like.
Right. I just found a new love of walnuts. So like I've been putting walnuts in my yogurt.
There you go.
It's so delicious. And guys, just have yogurt every day. That literally has saved me.
Like, yeah. Your probiotics, your protein. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Like when I travel, I travel with protein drinks in my suitcase, and then I will make sure I have my yogurt when I get to the Airbnb, because I figured out what works for me and I don't feel goofy anymore about bringing my own protein shakes. Like I used to feel weird, but now I'm like, no, like I get to open it up, put it right in the fridge, and now I have it.
Yeah, exactly. Always bring your own stash of all things. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you like, because a lot of people have such particular preferences too, or taste changes after surgery and stuff like that, where it's like, if I can't get this specific flavor of this specific brand, like I'm not going to get my protein in, you know. Not that you should really be fully depending on protein shakes to get your needs, but like, especially when you're traveling or in some other situation, it's helpful to have it, you know, as a backup even. So
it makes me just feel comfortable to know like I have 20 grams in the fridge. Mm-hmm. I got my yogurt in the fridge that's 13, so that way I know every day I at least start out with something good, so that way if this vacation or this work trip goes awry, I at least know I have like 33 grams of protein
body. Like almost half your day's need, you're good. Yeah
100%.
I love it.
So when they come and see you guys, like do they see you on the day of surgery? Do they get to meet you prior to that, besides just being on the Zoom calls, or how does that part work?
No. So I feel like you get to know people a lot, like on virtual, like we're all used to it and people like the convenience of it. And, you know, like I said, you're on your lunch break, you run out in your car and you're boop, there we are. They come, we see them in person for the first time in the preoperative area on the day of surgery. But I've never really felt like that was weird, or that I didn't do as thorough of a job or anything like that. And so anyway, we meet them there, and then we do the full assessment at our surgery center. We have an anesthesiologist, nurse anesthetist that will evaluate the airway. They do EKGs right there. So we try to do everything we can in that preoperative time frame, rather than, you know, making them have to run all over town and try to go here, there, everywhere. You know, you can accomplish a lot very easily.
That's true. Like, so what do you have them accomplish before they get to you? Like, is it just one set of psych eval or is there multiple now?
No, I don't like psych evals, actually.
Okay, so what do we do?
I think psych evals are a waste of time because now hear me out very clearly. I do think ongoing therapy and mindset work and, you know, consistency in that arena are paramount. But a one-time evaluation to get a check in a box, it doesn't tell me anything about you, who you are. I just think it's a waste of time. I just think that people aren't truly their most authentic selves when you think someone's like psych evaluating you, you know, like, I don't think so. So no, the only thing that we require, let's say if you're self-pay, you don't have to do anything for insurance, is before the day of surgery is some preoperative labs. If you're fairly straightforward, if you don't have much of a history, you just get basic labs. That's it. And then the day of, we do everything else. So it's really, really easy. Really easy.
Because you've taken a lot of that out of it.
Totally.
Normally, it's like some people have to see a psych person every once a month up until, or just for me, I did a 15-minute call.
Yeah, that's what I mean. 15-minute call, like, come on, give me a break. Did that change your life? Do you ever, like, no.
No, not at all. And they were just mainly focusing, like, am I doing this for someone else or am I doing this for myself?
Interesting.
That was kind of what they honed in on, was like, there's no one there pressuring you to do this. There's no one making you do this. And I'm like, no, this is all my choice. Like, I'm tired of being over 300 pounds, y'all. Yeah. So.
And I just even hate the idea that I get it. The intention is, you know, I suppose a good one, but is it though? Like when you're sitting there thinking about whoever it is, these medical directors or insurance, you know, people behind the mirror here, like the curtain, like who decides that, oh, we're going to have this particular surgery type to treat this chronic disease. We're going to make them see if they're emotionally and psychologically fit to do this. Mm-hmm. Like why?
Yeah.
Like, or we're going to make sure that like, you got to do supervised weight loss. You guys got to try to lose weight. That is so infuriating.
As
like,
opposed
what do you
to what they've been doing for 20 years.
Their whole lives.
Since
I was a little girl. Like, it's like,
yeah,
it is so frustrating. You're just delaying care. And you know, there's always the argument, oh, well, they don't want to pay for it and all this. I don't even know if I believe that. I think that that could be a component. Sure. I don't know. You know, obviously this is all a business and all that stuff, but I just think that we just put all these unnecessary hoops and barriers and things that almost demonize bariatric surgery, or at least put a stigma around it. Like, oh, you got to see if you're, you know, crazy enough to think about doing this thing. Like, that's why less than 1% of people who qualify get it. I really think that there's a lot of that in there.
I think so too, because they don't do that shit for like my heart. If you have a heart surgery, if you have a gallbladder surgery, like they're not asking, are you mentally fit for this?
No.
Like it's very discriminatory, I feel like.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Intentionally or unintentionally so. Absolutely it is.
Yeah. It's like, can we just not anymore? So what do you have to do for insurance people? Like you have to still do the evals because of insurance? Or?
A lot of them still require it. Yeah. And
they
then like Aetna, not to name names, but Aetna requires 12 visits of supervised weight loss on 12 separate days. So we will see you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday.
Well, no, because then we try and get them to do their psych evaluation on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, yeah. Yeah, there's sometimes like a Saturday in there too.
Uh-huh.
So it is the most nonsensical. And then like every day, like any questions since I saw you 22 hours ago? All right, see you tomorrow. I mean, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
My goodness, that
yeah.
is wild.
It is. And we go through stuff. We have like a little curriculum. We have like 12 modules on our Nutri Health that you know about on that platform. And we all meet with them, like everybody in our office. So like I'll do some days. Hannah does some days. Obviously our dietitian, Dr. Diana Lane, my partner, does some days. Amber, my physician assistant, does some days. So they get a little bit of different flavor. They meet the team. So I guess there's some perk in it. Like, but it's more of a social visit, you know? And
yeah,
again, maybe the intention is there. I don't know, but I think it's so stupid.
I agree, because that is ridiculous. I know if my insurance said that, I'd be like, oh, I would think that I would be like, okay, well, this is probably never going to happen then. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know?
We make it very clear. I said, what I'm about to tell you is going to sound like a lot, but it's really not. And like less than 3 weeks, you know, you'll be done with it all.
Right.
And then after that, it's fairly simple because like Hannah said, one of them is a psyche eval. And then a lot of we have everybody do NutriHealth, which is our standardized pre-op education platform. So Hannah does not have to say the same thing over and over and over again. She can give more personalized advice based on preferences and things. But, and then, yeah, 2.5 weeks later, you could be in surgery. So, like, yeah, some people misinterpreted some programs, I think. They do think that, okay, 12 visits means one per month. Right. And that you're looking at a year's worth of visits, but they'll accept it in 12 days. Mm-hmm. And I even do them on Saturdays and Sundays once in a while. Not often, but once in a while, somebody's like, help, and I need this date. And I'm
or
like,
they're
okay,
traveling
yeah.
in or something like that. Like, I will be in Orlando on this date. And so we like, okay, well, this is the lead time we need to get the insurance process. So we count backwards from that date and then we go. And I'm like, call your primary care doctor's office and get any visits you've done in the last 2 years. And have you met any other, like,
yeah.
did anybody on the street talk to you about weight loss? You know, do you have documentation of that? Like,
absolutely. So, such a game. It's a, like, yeah. roll of the eyes. But we will, like, back to the original thing Hannah said, we verify your benefits. When we verify your benefits, we also find out exactly what your policy needs you to do to in order to get that prior authorization approval. Like, I was approved. That's what that means. And so they will not take an incomplete packet. So if they need 12 visits, you need to have documentation for 12 visits. So every single time we do it, even if I called somebody yesterday that had Aetna, I'm going to call Aetna again today on you. Because I want to make sure, oh, wow. For example, Aetna used to require a hemoglobin A1C on every patient. They stopped it. And so we immediately in real time knew they stopped it. So we don't just do it because that's the way we've always done it. We make sure we don't do 1 millisecond more time or energy into this than needs to be done. Because again, I think a lot of it doesn't do anything to change the outcome or the safety or the results. And so That's why I don't do it. I would never, you know, cut corners or seemingly, you know, do something that I didn't think would be a benefit in one way, shape, or form to them. But most of it, I don't think is much help.
No.
Yeah.
It just seems like a little dilly-dallying to just get it done.
So stupid.
Yeah. And again, if somebody needs some additional testing or something, it's not that we're not, like you said, we're not cutting corners. If you have a cardiac issue, we're going to send you to get a cardiac clearance or whatever.
Absolutely.
If somebody doesn't require a pre-op nutrition visit with me, like with a dietitian, because we give them Nutri, we can skip that. But if they want one, they can have, like, it's available, it's there, but it's just not, we're not going to let it be a barrier to care.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I appreciate that. I think a lot of people will too, because that's just another hurdle, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we've been 100%. Through so many, a lot of us have lost weight, gain weight, lost weight, gain weight. Like, I know one of my people that I interviewed, she said that she's lost and gained almost 1,000 pounds in her lifetime.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like she said, until she got surgery, it finally stopped when surgery happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I felt so good for her. Cause I'm like, yes, finally something that
seriously sticks. Good for her. Awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly.
A couple more questions for you is one, how did you meet Dr. Lane? Because we don't really know much about her.
Oh,
I got to meet her in person, which
we'll
was fun.
We'll have to bring her on.
She's a hoot. There is an experience with that woman. So it's kind of random. So back in the day before we had an office and we're all virtual. So where Hannah is right now, I used to, she's in her house and I would work at Hannah's house. I loved it. We live far apart a little bit. Like 45 minutes to an hour apart, depending on traffic.
Wow.
So it's a little bit annoying, but back in the day, we would just be super productive side by side. So one day in the summer of 2023, maybe it was like May or June. And remember, I had just opened my practice in April of 2023.
Yeah.
And so a couple months later, I was sitting to Hannah's left and I was on the computer and I got at this one weird moment, I got an email and it was like this corny, generic, this is even before ChatGPT thing that was like, do you need a highly motivated, skilled surgeon with good technical skills? Well, I'm your fit. Something corny and lame. And it's like, my name is Dr. Diana Lane and I would love to be your partner. And da 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 da. So she made a website and I went to her website and then she's a she. So I was like, okay, that's cool. I really like the idea of another woman. And at first I wasn't so like, I want all women, but I just realized the most qualified around me were all these incredibly brilliant women. And so she said that, and she had on her website and all this. So I wrote her back and I'm like, yeah, I might actually. And I was like, call me. Oh, when are you free? And so she was actually, I don't even know if you know this, Hannah, but I got her, she wrote back something. I saw her sell and it was on a Saturday and I was dropping my kids off at a birthday party at Dave and Buster's and she was at a wedding. And then I called her and she ran out of the wedding that she was attending to go in the hallway because she needed a job and she wanted to be in Florida because she's from Florida and her husband is a pilot. He works for Frontier. And so they needed to be in either Orlando area or Miami area because they needed to be near a Frontier hub or by yeah. an airport at least. And so anyway, so she really wanted this job. So she left the wedding and she's like, hello, hi. And I was like, hey. And then I was like, tell me about yourself. So she started talking for like 2 seconds. And I'm like, you sound cool. Why don't I fly you to Orlando to meet you? I don't even know. It was just like really weird. And then she came wow. and she met with Hannah. And then she met with me and she met with my husband, Aaron. And she met with Joni, I think. Maybe not even yeah. Joni wasn't even there. But anyway, long story short.
I think Joni was there.
Yeah, she just met with us and I was like, I think you're great. And then we just hired her and she started September of 2023. Right out of fellowship training. And she has this confidence about her, which a lot of people, male or female, do not possess. And so she really, truly is and was even right out of the gates, a technically really proficient, excellent surgeon. And there was almost virtually no hand holding. She was like able to operate independently right out of the gate, which is almost a never event. I needed a lot more hand holding than she did. 100%. And I thought she was fantastic. And she also afforded me freedom because I could not leave. I could not do anything without someone to cover for me. So I needed to have that. And she just fell from the sky, honestly. Like, so very, very long story, not short. Yeah, she just cold emailed me and I was like, all right, sounds good. Let's make a major investment. Now, the other side of that was at that time, professionally, business-wise, I was paying my staff from my personal savings. And I mean, we weren't bringing in money. I didn't have like my billing and all that stuff set up correctly. And I was like broke as a joke. So to bring on a surgeon salary at that time really put a lot of strain on my marriage and put a lot of strain on me and my anxiety and all that stuff too. Right. So it was really, it was a scary time, but I always and still do believe in the vision, even if volumes are down or, you know, I feel like we'll get creative and we'll come up with something else. And Hannah and I together, I'm like, all right, we got to make a website for this thing. Let's go and let's do it.
Let's do it.
I love that. That's such a good story though. Like just so random. It's and random. Now she's been with you for 3 years.
3 years
and
almost.
3 years.
Yeah. This September, which is crazy. And just watching her blossom and things like that. And I mean, like you saw on the post I just did, I saw you comment on it. I was just putting, we have a lot of 5-star Google reviews. We actually have like almost 750 at this point. And so we have the most 5-star Google reviews, definitely in the state of Florida. And I was ChatGPTing it the other day and we actually come up, Hannah, like nationwide as like one of the highest and best ranked certain programs. And we really, 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 really obsess over the patient experience and getting a 5-star mm-hmm. review and earning it. And anyway, I just was like kind of looking through that. And I see so many people with pictures of Dr. Lane and Diana and just really loving her and appreciating her openness and candor about her own weight struggles and struggles with what was formerly known as PCOS, now polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, just, you know, all of that. And just her putting it out there. I think that she's an awesome addition to the team. And I would love to keep growing it. I would love to keep expanding it. So universe, listen up. I'm ready to expand.
That's
Let's
right.
do it.
Get another dietitian.
Yeah.
We do need that. We do need that.
Because you're the only one, right, Hannah?
Yeah.
You're the only dietitian.
Yeah.
So,
which that in itself, again, like she said, kind of sets us apart a little bit in the small practice is like not everybody has a dietitian on staff. Like,
no.
A lot of times it's, you know, sent out or it's, you know, you have contacts or whatever and you're like, here's our dietitian to go to. And I think that's another advantage too to us is we just have it in house. I can answer questions. I mean, I see patients twice a week, but I can answer questions whenever. And again, it keeps us in that timeline, like just moving so quickly because otherwise you're waiting for appointment availability and things like that versus like, this is all I do. It's for the only practice I do. I only see surgical patients. I very rarely see anybody outside of surgery. So it's, you know, we have that advantage as well. And that was definitely, I know, a business decision from Dr. Dobek that, like, again, it's an expense. It's, you know, and, but to have it, it just makes sense.
It does. It does. Cause I had to get seen out and I had to pay $500 for my dietitian and I only got to see them one time. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is 11 years ago. Yeah. Though. So, I mean, things are different for sure, but like, that's all I got. And so I would love to have had a dietitian in-house where I can see them when I see my surgeon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well, and the other thing, I mean, everybody knows about my love for Hannah and my first meeting with her. And of course, she came with me from the hospital and she moved here. And I was like, oh my God, she's so cool. I love her. And I have to have her. And we work together. And, you know, I recognize that Hannah is an awesome dietitian. We always say this, and she will agree with it, but she has like a skill set like no other in so many other arenas, which is kind of the secret sauce to the behind the scenes success of Body by Bariatrics. I mean, the butterfly effect retreat you started with Mel. I mean, she's really kind of the brainchild of that, like putting on the creativity hat. She's a creative thought partner, is how she kind of describes her particular set of skills that are very unusual.
I'm also Liam Neeson.
She's Liam Neeson.
A particular set of skills.
She totally is. And if you ever see bodybybariatrics.com, guys, Hannah is our web developer. Did you know that?
So, but if it's ever messed up, don't blame me.
No, she fixed it always. And that's just because I'm like, hey, let's try some random, like, let's do a carousel that moves and things fly in from the left to the right. She's always like, all right, let's do it. Like, but
yeah, let's try it out.
Let's try it out. I'll figure it out. Okay.
It crashed.
Oh, well, we'll come around. We'll fix that.
Well, I love the fact that like you ended up with all women.
Yes.
And it sounds like that wasn't what you were trying to do, but it just kind of happened.
I think it did. It did. It's all women and then Aaron, who's not really a part of my husband, but he does the payroll and he does some other things. He does a lot more for the surgery center side for sure. But yeah, we have, like I said, Amber, who you heard her incredible, moving, very just wow speech. That was, God,
I cried.
Oh my gosh. And we have it actually on our podcast, the Weight Loss Collab. We have, this wasn't on my vision board, but I'm showing up anyway. And just her very heroic, just incredible, a journey with feeling a lump in her breast at the age of 28, getting it checked out and being advanced metastatic breast cancer and undergoing, you know, extensive surgery. And ultimately she just finished her chemo. And in the messy middle of that storm of uncertainty and just fear, she got in front of a stage of hundreds of people and she shared her story and she just let it all out. And just such, my God, it was like, I think that retreat, out of all the things, birthing a children times three and all the things, like I keep saying this, but I do think that retreat was the best moment of my life. I do. Yeah. It was just so
I
cool.
Felt it. I felt it in that room. I got goosebumps like 1,000 times. Even when you had us read out loud what our goals were, like, and then you turned real fast when I was like, I want to be a comedian and I'm moving to Texas.
I was like,
I know. We were all like, wait, what?
I think you should be. And I think that is so, I mean, how else did Nikki Glaser get started? Like, you know, I mean.
She's my favorite, one of my favorites.
She's my favorite too. She is so, talk about the girl, the moment, that is her. Like, she's incredible. But I love that. It's like, what is your intention? Like, no, what is it you want to do and how are you going to get there? And I think that, like, the butterfly effect, a lot of it was about, like, okay, you make the decision to show up and how it can have a big impact on your life. And that is the definition of the butterfly effect. But I really do think that there's such an intertangling here of money and business and wealth and also your health and like how you show up for yourself every day and the decisions you make. Like, I think that there's a lot there. So I love people's big audacious goals that are maybe nothing to do with like, I'm going to eat more protein today. It's like, no, I want to be one of the world's greatest comedians and I'm going to do it this way. Like, I love that. I'm like so here for it. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I had my kid. I did the whole white picket fence. I had the husband, but my kid is 20 years old and he moved out last October.
Wow.
And my ex-husband is an ex. So we can finally, I can do what I want. Like, yeah. I can literally do what I want. I finally feel free. And yeah, so I'm going to sell this bad boy house. And that's what I'm doing. So,
wow.
Why Texas? I'm yeah. curious.
So Texas, so it's actually Austin, Texas, to be particular. So the new comedy scene is in Austin.
Okay.
A bunch of comedians from LA moved over. So like Joe Rogan's there.
Oh, wow.
With Tony Hinchcliffe and like Tom Segura and all of them. So like Joe Rogan opened up his own comedy club called The Mothership. And it's been open for like 3 years now, maybe four, right around when you were doing yours, like opening your business. And he said so many times, if you want to, this is actually how why I started the podcast, because Joe Rogan, I started listening to him in 2015. That's when I had surgery. And he just kept saying, if you want to do a podcast, just do it.
Yeah.
And just do it.
Yeah.
And finally, one day I was like, he's right. I need to just fucking do this.
Yeah.
And then listening to them again, they're like, just get up on stage, get up on stage. So I have twice.
That's awesome.
I've done two nights and I loved it. And people thought I was funny. The second night, I literally blacked out and don't even remember people laughing. But when I came off stage, they're like, you're fucking funny. And I was like, shit. Okay. So I'm going to just go over to Austin so I can do all OSLP, JBY stuff during the day. And then at night, I'm just going to hit the open mics.
That's
what I'm going to do.
I love it. I love that you put that out there.
We need to go to JBY this year.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, we are. Hannah, we are.
Okay, good to know.
Yes, it's April 24th of 2027. So we have a full.
You have the date.
Oh, yeah. It's in Ashland, Oregon. So you'll be coming to West Coast. And yeah, you're going to be in my neighborhood and we're going to have a whole weekend event. So we're bringing bodybuilding to bariatrics Friday. And then the full award show will be on Saturday. Yeah.
Really?
We'll have like 22 categories. So I'm actually building that right now. I got my big old whiteboard over here. Like,
wow. It's amazing that I know how much work that is, and just even trying to get any type of sponsorship. It's like super expensive. I mean, our retreat was over six figures that we just put on, and it was like, oof, whoops, gulp, yeah. Under or over budget massively. And then you have to try to find the price point that people like, oh, that's $200. You're like, ha. Yes.
If only.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and yours is hard. Yours is going to be super. It's just hard. It's so much hard work. And
it is.
Why do you feel like you do that? Why do you do all that?
You know, sometimes I think about it too. Like, why do I do
this? Yeah.
Because the last JBY was the first JBY that we actually got like money out of.
Oh my God.
The first two was like a lot of Mel's credit cards.
Really?
So, yeah, yeah. So I'm a little in debt from JBY. It's about 15 grand. It's totally fine. I'm paying it off. It's happening. But I do it because I see the people, how much they love it. And that's why I do it. Because every time I talk to someone, they're like, I found my new Barry bestie there. I changed my whole business because of you. Like, they're like meeting these people and learning each other's stories. Like, people now work together. They've made businesses. And I'm like, I have to keep doing this because people just love to celebrate each other and they love to be around each other all weekend. And I do a lot of things that like get you to be together and hang out. So that way you can talk and have fun and whatnot. So it's really just them. Like, they keep me going because sometimes I forget how important it is until someone starts talking about it. And I'm like, okay, I have to make sure this keeps going because they just love it. They love meetups, you know, like they love the butterfly effect, and they love JBY because they all get to celebrate each other all through the weekend. So,
my God, girl.
I know. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be a Thursday through Sunday situation.
Really?
Yeah. Thursday is the welcome party. Friday is the bodybuilding bariatrics.
Okay.
Saturday is the award show, and then Sunday is the brunch that I hold for the Benchies. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, Hannah, put it on our calendar. Maybe that's what you're just doing.
24.
April 24th. Let's do it.
Yeah. Get on over to Oregon, ladies.
We'll be there.
You have been in the top five, I think, every single year, Dr. Dovak.
I haven't won, but maybe if I'm there in person and I really start to...
They know you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there, guys. Come on. Please. Yeah, I'm already starting my campaign. Let's do it.
That's right. Body Bariatrics can win because I say this because Dr. Shivers from Canada is a plastic surgeon. And because he promoted it so much, he actually won the plastic surgeon vote instead of Michael...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like one of the other guys that's a main guy.
Russo.
So it really...
Funny.
Yeah. So it was kind of crazy. I was like, all right, well, look at that. So it really is about like what you talk about and the people that are with the community. I notice that people don't vote for other people that don't care about the community. It's just not going to happen. And I love to see those numbers because I'm like, they notice shit that I don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The community is strong. So the last thing I wanted to ask, because I get this all the time, is there an age limit to surgery?
Oh, really?
My mom keeps being like, I'm too old, and she's 62. And
that's
I'm like,
so
no, you're
young.
Not.
No, we do up to 85. Mom. We've done people in their early 80s.
Okay.
So she's still got another 20 years of that before we'll say, mm-hmm. like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's 85. Definitely. Yeah, 62 is a great year because she's probably just starting her, about to be in a retirement type era. And it's like, I mean, you could either live at doctor's visits and all the issues with that, mobility and problems, or you can just do it and be like, why? Mm-hmm. Why did I wait to my 60s?
Yeah. And I know many ladies that are like, I should have just done it earlier, but I did it mm-hmm. in my 50s, did it in my 60s.
That in our big Facebook group, which I think you're in, mm-hmm. you know, we get same questions sometimes kind of come back up in cycles, whatever. And one of them is always like, you know, tell me what you were, it's somebody pre-op, what do you regret about this surgery? And it'll be like 40 comments of, I regret I didn't do it sooner. I regret I didn't do it sooner. And then like some that are like, I did the sleeve and I should have done the bypass. But for the most part, it is overwhelmingly just like, I wish I had done this when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
If I could have done it when I was 17, I would have.
Yeah.
You know, because that for a lot of people, whatever time frame, but that, you know, they started back then, or if I had done it in my 20s, whatever the case may be. So,
yeah, I'm glad that I did it. My goal was you have to do it before you're 30. That mm-hmm. was my situation. 28 is what I did. So, yeah, because I came out of my mom big. So that was.
I know some people will say that. I'm like, how long have you struggled with your weight? Like, I came out at 10 pounds. I'm like, oh, here we go.
No, I was a big baby. So I totally get it.
Gross
well,
curve,
ladies, you have been amazing. I'm so excited that we're all working together and we get to do more of this. But is there anything that you think I missed or you guys want to hit on before we go?
No, I mean, whoever you are out there, if you would love to have a consult with us, if you want a second opinion about something, if something's bothering you, you're just not sure. Hey, it's a quick consult and it's virtual and it's easy. And our website designed by Hannah here has so much information about us, bodybybariatrics.com. And we also have things, even if you already had your surgery, you're super happy, whatever. We have a blog. We have a lot of resources. We have a digital FAQ library. We have our 65-page bariatric surgery success guide that's just really robust and thoughtful and detailed, and it gives you a lot of, you know, what to expect before and immediately after and kind of lifelong after bariatric surgery. We have a lot of information out there about what does follow-up look like and what are the vitamins you should take, and we have our own nutrition line, Body by Nutrition, also designed by Hannah, where the vitamins are really good. Actually, have one right here. Corny infomercial right here. But
love it.
Yeah, but like, and I snack on these all the time. I'm almost out, which is a bummer. I'm eating away any minimal profit we get because I just eat them myself. So yeah, so
well, that's how you know they're good. Like
they are legitimately really good. We actually use TruCal, which is a milk derivative. Hannah, of course, can tell you about that. I realize that they are much better tasting than some of the traditional calcium citrate mm-hmm. that I used to like, but a lot of people were like, oh, they nauseate me. And guess what happens? They don't take them then. You're not going to take it if you don't really like it. You might try to in the beginning, you kind of choke it down. But if it's not something you're like, it's time to take it. Yay. Mm-hmm. Which flavor do I want this time? Like, you're not going to do it. So anyway, with all that being said, we have a lot of things and we are going to be doing a series with you. So I'm super excited about diving into some of our deeper topics, our edgier mm-hmm. kind of topics soon, even some of the economics of all this. So we got a lot to say, a lot coming up.
Yeah, we do. That's what I want everybody to listen. Stay tuned because we're going to go deep diving. We're going to actually get into bariatrics. We're going to look at the nitty gritty of everything and make sure you're completely well informed. That's what I have always wanted for you guys because I was not. I was not at all. I was alone a lot of the first 4 years of my journey. So this is why I don't want anybody else to feel alone or ashamed or embarrassed because I definitely, I still kind of hold on to that a little bit. I still feel a little embarrassed and a little ashamed of how I got to 308 pounds. But I know that like a lot of us have, and I think that's why I like the community is just knowing like shit happens, you know?
Yeah.
It really just depends on how you grew up and where you are in life and how that all works. So,
yeah.
But yeah, is there anything Hannah wants to say or
just add in? Of course, we do have our own podcast. You mentioned it earlier, the Weight Loss Collab.
Yes.
This probably will be posted on there as well. But make sure go find us. We're on all the places that you listen to podcasts on YouTube. We do have some great video episodes too. So you can actually see surgeries happening. So if you want those, I think are really awesome. The sleeve week and the bypass week and then revision week. I believe we had that as well.
Yeah.
So you can go and check out like actual surgical footage, but lots of really cool stuff on there as well. And I just think that, yeah, our website just has so much stuff on it that like you can explore it for a really long time and find things. But I think just, you know, if you're interested, like she said, you know, just reach out to us. And, you know, the worst thing we tell you is like, hey, you know, your insurance doesn't cover and you can pay out of pocket. And if you can't do that, we can do payment plans. We can figure things out with you. But, you know, ultimately, I think that there's a resource out there for everybody in some way with us so we can, you know, just kind of explore all the different options.
Oh, yeah. And I'll have everything linked below in the show notes. So if you want to go to their website, go to their website. If you want to go to their podcast, it will be there. Their handles will be there. So you do not have to worry or miss anything. And you guys know the drill. I always say this at the end of every episode. You got to get your water, your protein, your movement, sleep. And I definitely want to talk to Dovak about sleep and Hannah about sleep because that's a huge one that everyone misses.
Yep.
I am a big advocate for therapy because it's helped me. And last but not least, get those ProCare vitamins or even Dr. Dovak's vitamins. Just take something, please.
Yeah.
So you don't go blind. You don't have to go to the hospital. Like, it's just so important to your health. I couldn't stress it enough. So use code OSLP for that. And last but not least, just don't be an asshole to one another.
Thank you, Val.
Yeah. Have a great week, guys. Let us know if you need anything.
Thanks again.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into Our Sleep Life podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone that needs it. Remember, small, consistent steps create lasting change. I'll see you on the next episode.